This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
The pendulum swings again. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Monday, May 13th. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
After optimism appeared to surface on Friday about trade talks between the U.S. and China, pessimism has returned.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo heads to Brussels to discuss the Iran nuclear deal, delaying a trip to Russia.
Heavy rains and flooding are blamed on at least two deaths in southern Mississippi. Meanwhile, rain could linger through tomorrow morning.
And the secret U.S. missile designed to kill only terrorists, not nearby civilians.
What's really interesting about this particular variant of the Hellfire is that it does not explode. So it's used to target an individual they want to kill, but it targets and hits the target without exploding.
Wall Street Journal reporter Gordon Lubold on the R9X missile. His report in about 7 minutes. Trade negotiations between the United States and China seem to be at a standstill. Washington wants concrete changes to Chinese law that it says Beijing promised, and China said it would not do anything that harmed its interests. White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow told Fox News Sunday that the barrier to a deal is China's reluctance to put into law changes that had been agreed upon. Mr. Kudlow said the U.S. tariffs would remain in place while negotiations continue.
The talks will continue, and I will say this, there's a G20 meeting in Japan toward the end of June next month. The chances that President Trump and President Xi will get together at that meeting are probably pretty good.
The trade war between the world's top two economies escalated on Friday, with the U.S. hiking tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods after President Trump said Beijing broke the deal by reneging on earlier commitments made during months of negotiations. Mr. Kudlow said there is a strong possibility, again, that Mr. Trump will meet China's president at a G20 summit late next month. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has postponed his scheduled visit to Moscow today and is heading instead to Brussels. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
While in Brussels, Mr. Pompeo will discuss a range of pressing issues, including the Iran nuclear deal. Meanwhile, the European Union's foreign policy chief earlier today said the EU supports the international nuclear accord with Iran and wants rival powers to avoid any further escalation over the issue. The U.S. withdrew from it last year and then imposed sanctions on Tehran. The top diplomats are said to be preparing to discuss a response to Iran's threat of breaching certain commitments of what's called the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Mr. Pompeo will proceed to Russia tomorrow to meet President Vladimir Putin and other Russian officials. CNN, by the way, says the leaders are expected to discuss things like arms control, Ukraine, Venezuela, North Korea, and Iran. Saudi Arabia says two of its oil tankers suffered significant damage in an attack over the weekend near the Strait of Hormuz. It happened yesterday off the coast of the United Arab Emirates as they prepared to cross into the Persian Gulf. The Saudi foreign minister called it sabotage. The U.S. said last week that it's sending an aircraft carrier, bombers, and other military muscle to the Persian Gulf to counter what the Trump administration says is a growing threat from Iran. Washington has placed crippling economic sanctions on Iran to try to force it to scale back its military activities and stop threatening Israel. Saudi authorities didn't place blame for the attack. One of the ships was headed to a port to load oil bound for the U.S. On Saturday, the UAE reported attacks on four commercial vessels near its territorial waters. It is not clear if the Saudi ships were among those four. It's 10 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Round here, everyone knows you need the right tool for the job. It's the difference between orders filled and orders missed, between return customers and product returns. That's why I order from Grainger. With over 250 local branches, will call product pickup, and a time-saving mobile app, it's easy to get it right. When it comes to getting what you need, when you need it, Grainger's got your back. Call, clickgrainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday. The U.S. government has developed a specially designed secret missile for pinpoint airstrikes that kill terrorist leaders with no explosion, drastically reducing damage and minimizing the chances of civilian casualties. It's called the R9X and goes by the nickname the Flying Ginsu for the blades that allow it to cut through buildings or the roofs of cars. It's an exclusive story by Gordon Leubold, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Gordon, what have you found?
It's used to target an individual they want to kill, but it targets and hits the target without exploding. The idea being that you can really do a precision strike, you can kill that person and not anybody else around it. So the military likes it in particular because they are typically trying to mitigate killing innocent civilians, even though that does, of course, happen. The other thing about this that makes it particularly intriguing is that seconds before impact, the missile protrudes kind of a halo of large blades, which essentially makes it drill through. It doesn't really drill, but it makes it puncture through the top of a car or a building.
Wow.
And in order to kind of increase the radius of the target area.
But so it doesn't explode. So what is it, like just hurling like a 100-pound piece of metal at somebody?
It really is like, it's about 100 pounds, and it really is like an anvil coming down on top of somebody, which as, and I'm not trying to be kind of casual about, killing anybody, but it's a much cleaner kind of strike than a typical Hellfire or other kind of anti-tank missile that would explode and potentially kill. Let's say you were targeting somebody inside a car or a building, you could potentially kill several people all within the vicinity of the person you were targeting instead of just the person you actually want. So this is used, as I say, very sparingly for typically senior terrorist leaders that they really feel like they need to take off the battlefield.
And we're fairly secretive as a country or a government about this, right? As you said, it's used sparingly, but we really don't know the frequency.
Yeah, the Pentagon has just begun to use it. It was really developed for the CIA for their strikes, and those are harder to kind of know. Certainly less transparent. The Defense Department has used it about a half a dozen times in the last few years, and most recently, as we were able to report, in Yemen against a guy named Mr. al-Badwi, who was behind the bombing of the USS Cole, which killed 17 sailors back in 2000 in Yemen.
We're speaking with Gordon Leubold, national security reporter at the Wall Street Journal. He's got an exclusive story entitled Secret U.S. Missile Aims to Kill Only Terrorists, Not Nearby Civilians. This is going to sound, cynical or sarcastic. Are we the only country that's considerate in this way in the war on terror?
No. In fact, there are other, and the U.S. uses other so-called low collateral damage bombs and missiles. There are other ones. This one is the most celebrated by the U.S. right now. It's very effective. I know the U.K., United Kingdom uses similar weapons, and others do, I couldn't tell you how many. But this is within the U.S. certainly, it's a very sought-after weapon platform or weapon for when you do have these particular missions.
Thanks, Gordon. Gordon Leubold,
reporter at The Wall Street Journal. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Sporting companies and investors are waiting to see how China will retaliate for President Trump's escalation of a fight over technology and trade that threatens to disrupt a Chinese economic recovery. China threatened necessary countermeasures for Trump's tariff hikes on $200 billion of Chinese imports, but has yet to take any. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, who appeared on ABC, says a prolonged battle is not good for the U.S.
My concern is that the great benefits of the tax cut, which have low unemployment and incredible economic growth, could be erased by this tariff war. As we ratchet it up with China, I'm very concerned.
China has started targeting U.S. companies by slowing down customs clearance. Heavy rains hit New Orleans and Houston over the weekend, flooding areas in and around the cities less than a month before the start of the Atlantic hurricane season. This New Orleans resident was stranded after trying to drive through a flooded underpass.
I couldn't do nothing, and the water was coming from all angles. I had to open the door and quickly get out of the car when I see the rush of the water and how the water was moving.
In Texas, Houston has also seen widespread flooding after heavy rainfall from a storm lingering in the Gulf of Mexico. A Massachusetts man faces a federal murder charge after he allegedly attacked two hikers on the Appalachian Trail, leaving one of them dead. 30-year-old James Jordan was arrested Saturday in Virginia and charged with one count of murder and one count of assault with the intent to murder. Authorities originally said they were investigating reports that a man with a machete injured two hikers, one man and one woman, but did not say that one of them had died. Neither victim has been identified. The ball bounced not once, not twice, but four times before dropping in as Kawhi Leonard's improbable shot lifted the Raptors over the 76ers 92-90 in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference semifinals last night. Kevin Harlan and Greg Anthony with a call or scream on TNT.
Is this the dagger?
It was the first winning buzzer beater in a Game 7 in NBA history. The Raptors will meet the Milwaukee Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals.
That was a great call, or scream, as you said. They couldn't have performed that any better if they had rehearsed it. That was just a simultaneous,
That ball hung up there forever.
It almost looked like a movie.
I know.
Right, the way it just sat there before
slow
falling
motion.
Through. That was
Jeez.
Great. Thanks, Jen. 22 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Video games are becoming easier and easier for disabled gamers to manage thanks to things like custom features. And it's become nearly impossible to measure the social benefits for many players who may have severe disabilities. It's a story by Ed Baig, personal technology columnist at USA Today. Ed, what have you found?
Well, what I found is that a lot of people who have some form of disability are turning to video games, first of all, for the same reason anybody would play video games, to have a good time. But some people behind the keyboard or game controller are doing it because that's how they find community. It's frankly a way, as one person put it, you know, to it's the great equalizer for people who have disabilities. You know, you can out there, you're playing some sort of game, whether it's a first-person shooter or a puzzle, really anything. And you're part of a community. You feel like you're equal to everyone out there. And people may or may not know that you have some sort of disability.
You know, people of a certain age, Ed, I'm not saying you and I know any of them, but perhaps spend time in an arcade in a mall in the 80s can't really relate to what's happening. Well, you know, when you talk about community or something like that, how, I guess, are these people like point to this as a lifesaver, perhaps?
It can be. I mean, it's a social outlet for people. I talked to one woman who's become something of an advocate. She's 35 years old. She works for Easter Seal. She plays games really from the moment she stops working. And it's how she relaxes. It's how she interacts with friends. You know, it's a big part of her social life. It takes her mind off things. And yes, she has fun.
There are, what I didn't realize too, specialized controls or customized controls that, for example, Microsoft might make for you for the Xbox system?
That's right. They came out, I believe it was last year, with a $100, they call it the Xbox Adaptive Controller. And basically what it does is it lets somebody with a disability play the way they can play. So, for example, you can map it literally on the, you can, you know, person can use their feet for the buttons, for example, or you might mount it onto a desk or a wheelchair. It's a very versatile thing, and you know, the people I talk to who started to use it are very high on it. Well worth the $100 price. It really lets somebody play Xbox the way they can play Xbox, not with the standard controller.
We're speaking with Ed Baig, personal technology columnist at USA Today. And he's written a piece entitled, Video Games Are a Great Equalizer for People with Disabilities. That's something. I don't know, is everything a possibility at this point? I think of like the severely physical disabled, for example. What about like the mouth controllers?
Yeah, there are different controllers. I mean, one person I know that, actually the person I referenced earlier who works for Eastersil, she competes against people who are disabled as well as people who are not disabled. And in terms of disabled people, some people use these literally eye trackers, eye controllers. So it is remarkable when you think about it. Certainly progress still needs to be made. There's a group out there called Able Gamers. It's a charity that really pushes, pushes equipment to be, updated, and they do grants and such. But certainly more progress needs to be made. But there has been progress, having said that.
Thanks, Ed. Ed Baig, personal technology columnist from USA Today. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. I love the incredible feeling of five-star hotel sheets, but it's so difficult and expensive to get sheets like that at home. That's why I've been recommending Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world with over 35,000 five-star reviews. They were the first DTC bedding company, meaning they work directly with manufacturers and directly with customers. No middlemen. That saves us money. With Brooklinen, I can expect luxury sheets without the luxury markup. My Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. I couldn't recommend them more if you're looking to treat yourself or a loved one to a bedding upgrade. For a limited time right now, Brooklinen.com has an offer while celebrating its fifth birthday. Get 20% off site-wide when you shop at Brooklinen.com, but only until May 7th. Shop their biggest event to date. Brooklinen is so confident in their products that all sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get 20% off site-wide is to go to brooklinen.com. Only until Tuesday, May 7th. That's Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen.com. These are the best sheets ever.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday, May 13. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Trade talks between the U.S. and China seem to have turned sour again. Deadly storms in the south have caused at least two deaths. Sweden announced a short while ago that it will reopen a rape case against WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. A 50th anniversary Woodstock celebration is in the hands of a judge today. Last week, a Starbucks cup. This week on Game of Thrones, a cameo by quarterback Aaron Rodgers, and the New York City waiter who returned a lost bank check of $424,000. That story in about 20 minutes. As emergency managers prepare for hurricane and wildfire seasons, they say growing development and higher population in vulnerable areas will likely amplify the damage and devastation. It's a story by Wall Street Journal disaster reporter Aaron Aylworth. Aaron, what are we seeing?
First, we're seeing just more extreme weather events, bigger fires, strong hurricanes, storms that bring a ton of rain dumped over a large area. And then the other thing that's happening is that just due to population growth, more people live in places that are prone to disaster. So more people, more infrastructure, bigger events, generally just leaves more people in harm's way and more things likely to be damaged.
Boy, it seems like
flooding in the Midwest, as you know, you're based there, fires in the West, hurricanes in the East. I would think that people would start moving to locations where these events aren't likely to happen, but that's not the case.
No, I mean, I think a lot of people see areas like this, see, you know, a coastal property, an ocean view is something desirable. Same thing with the river. You know, we've been covering the flooding that has been happening here in the Midwest for the last several weeks. It's actually been basically the wettest 12 months on record in the last 124 years, I think. It's a little bit crazy. But, you know, the towns, the people in the towns that I've talked to have talked about how, you know, the river is their friend, something that they want to be next to, something that, you know, helps them with their businesses or just makes their life more enjoyable. So, you know, people are still going to live in these areas.
I'm speaking with Wall Street Journal disaster reporter Erin Aylworth about her story entitled "As Hurricane and Fire Seasons Approach, More People Likely to Be in Harm's Way." We keep moving deeper into the forest, too. That's causing problems. Vegetation has bounced back, right? So there's more fuel around now, too.
Right. Yeah. So basically, there's this thing called the wildland-urban interface, or as the dorky people like me like to call it, the WUI. And it's essentially where cities, communities meet up with you know, forested lands. And so you bring more infrastructure into these places. And of course, you know, most wildfires are started by humans, you know, usually not intentionally, but just because we bring our stuff with us. And so you get more danger. And then California has been having a wet spring, which is good in some respects because it will tamp down on at least the beginnings of wildfire season, or that's the hope. The issue then becomes that, you know, that water brings with it a burst of vegetation. And as, you know, we get deeper into the summer months and things dry out, then that vegetation becomes ready fuel that can burn and turn into a massive wildfire. So, you know, rain now is good for up until a certain point, and then becomes a bad thing.
What about maps? Will better maps ever say don't move there, or you can move there, but your insurance is going to be $1 gazillion a month? You know what I mean? Like, yes. Would that happen?
I mean, I think so. I talked to the spatial fire analyst, Greg Dillon, who works for the U.S. Forest Service Rocky Mountain Research Station, and he and colleagues are actually working on maps like this. He's already mapped some stuff looking at wildfire hazard potential in public forest lands, and now, you know, after receiving a lot of calls from insurance companies and other, you know, other official types worried about, you know, wildfires igniting, like, say, near Santa Rosa or near a place like Paradise, they're working on a map that will better look at the risk posed by fires to communities nationwide. And so I think, you know, I think a lot of people will be looking at that, you know, both just residents like you and I, and people like you and I, and, you know, people in charge of insurance, whether it be for fires or floods or hurricanes.
Thanks, Erin. That's Wall Street Journal disaster reporter Erin Aylworth. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me on Twitter as well, directly at Gordon Deal. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday. A new study finds that your chances of getting screened for cancer depend a lot on whether you visit your doctor bright and early in the morning or later in the afternoon. University of Pennsylvania researchers have found that during the 8 a.m. hour, primary care physicians ordered breast cancer screenings for 64% of the patients who were eligible. But at 5 p.m., those same doctors asked for the cancer tests for 48% of eligible patients. A similar decline happened with colon cancer screenings. The study, published in JAMA Open Network, says the drop-off in ordering screenings could be linked to decision fatigue, the mental burnout that makes it harder for people to think through big decisions the farther they get into their day. Researchers say another reason for the discrepancy could be from doctors running behind on appointments. MarketWatch says in a grim twist, it seems the end of the day also affects patients. When doctors ordered fewer screenings later in the day, the patients receiving them completed the cancer screenings at a lower rate. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the White House's top economic advisor has acknowledged that U.S. consumers and businesses pay the tariffs that the Trump administration has imposed on billions of dollars of Chinese goods, even as President Trump himself insisted in a tweet incorrectly that China pays. Larry Kudlow spoke with Fox's Chris Wallace.
Because the president says China doesn't. China, it pays the tariffs. They may suffer consequences, but it's U.S. businesses and U.S. consumers who pay, correct?
Yes, to some extent. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Again, both sides will suffer on this.
The president has also asserted that trade wars are easy to win, but Kudlow accepted that they come with costs for the U.S. economy, though he downplayed the impact. Saudi Arabia's foreign ministry is condemning acts of sabotage that targeted two of its oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman near the coast of the United Arab Emirates. The ministry called it a criminal act that poses a serious threat to the security and safety of maritime traffic. The kingdom says the unspecified act of sabotage did not lead to any casualties or oil spill. European Union Foreign Policy Chief Federica Mogherini says the U.S. fully supports the international nuclear accord with Iran and wants rival powers to avoid any further escalation over the issue. She told reporters today the EU will continue to support it as much as it can with all its instruments and all its political will. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is expected to meet EU officials in Brussels today to talk about Iran. He is on his way to the Black Sea resort of Sochi, where he plans to meet Russia's President Vladimir Putin and Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov tomorrow to discuss Iran. Avengers Endgame has lost some of its steam, but it still had enough left to end up at the top of the box office again. The Marvel blockbuster took in another $63.1 million during its third weekend in theaters, bringing its overall domestic gross to $723.5 million and breaking the mark set by Black Panther and Avengers Infinity War. Globally, it has brought in $2.5 billion, so it still trails number one of all time, Avatar, which earned $2.8 billion.
Wow. All right, so it's about $300 million behind.
Yes, they said this weekend they were going to break the record, but I guess it did not happen.
Some sort of big fall off. All right, thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
This human resources professional is crushing it, thanks to Kronos. And this is his hype song.
You can fall back with the pack. I'm a leader pack.
I've got HR, payroll, talent, and time.
I'm on the top, I'm gonna rise up. Now we are
engaging all the best people.
Blast off to the front of the field. This is
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
At Dell, we know running a small business takes hard work. As a thank you, for all of Small Business Month, we're offering up to 45% off select computers with Intel Core processors. Plus, get additional savings when you call the Dell Small Business Technology Advisor. Call 877-BUY-DELL today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Additional savings valid May 6th through 30th at 8 a.m. Eastern on select computers from customer calls Dell. Excludes Dell Canvas, PowerEdge T30, and select order codes.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday. A new study finds that your chances of getting screened for cancer depend a lot on whether you visit your doctor bright and early in the morning or later in the afternoon. University of Pennsylvania researchers have found that during the 8 a.m. hour, primary care physicians ordered breast cancer screenings for 64% of the patients who were eligible. But at 5 p.m., those same doctors asked for the cancer tests for 48% of eligible patients. A similar decline happened with colon cancer screenings. The study, published in JAMA Open Network, says the drop-off in ordering screenings could be linked to decision fatigue, the mental burnout that makes it harder for people to think through big decisions the farther they get into their day. Researchers say another reason for the discrepancy could be from doctors running behind on appointments. MarketWatch says in a grim twist, it seems the end of the day also affects patients. When doctors ordered fewer screenings later in the day, the patients receiving them completed the cancer screenings at a lower rate. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the White House's top economic advisor has acknowledged that U.S. consumers and businesses pay the tariffs that the Trump administration has imposed on billions of dollars of Chinese goods, even as President Trump himself insisted in a tweet incorrectly that China pays. Larry Kudlow spoke with Fox's Chris Wallace.
The president says China doesn't. China, it pays the tariffs. They may suffer consequences, but it's U.S. businesses and U.S. consumers who pay, correct?
Yes, to some extent. I don't disagree with that. Again, both sides will suffer on this.
The president has also asserted that trade wars are easy to win, but Kudlow accepted that they come with costs for the U.S. economy, though he downplayed the impact. Saudi Arabia's foreign ministry is condemning acts of sabotage that targeted two of its oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman near the coast of the United Arab Emirates. The ministry called it a criminal act that poses a serious threat to the security and safety of maritime traffic. The kingdom says the unspecified act of sabotage did not lead to any casualties or oil spill. European Union Foreign Policy Chief Federica Mogherini says the U.S. fully supports the international nuclear accord with Iran and wants rival powers to avoid any further escalation over the issue. She told reporters today the EU will continue to support it as much as it can with all its instruments and all its political will. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is expected to meet EU officials in Brussels today to talk about Iran. He is on his way to the Black Sea resort of Sochi, where he plans to meet Russia's President Vladimir Putin and Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov tomorrow to discuss Iran. Avengers Endgame has lost some of its steam, but it still had enough left to end up at the top of the box office again. The Marvel blockbuster took in another $63.1 million during its third weekend in theaters, bringing its overall domestic gross to $723.5 million and breaking the mark set by Black Panther and Avengers Infinity War. Globally, it has brought in $2.5 billion, so it still trails number one of all time, Avatar, which earned $2.8 billion.
Wow. All right, so it's about $300 million behind.
Yes, they said this weekend it was going to break the record, but I guess it did not happen.
Some sort of big fall off. All right, thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Thanks for being with us. A retired social worker almost lost a small fortune in the blink of an eye after leaving a nearly $500,000 cashier's check at a restaurant in New York City. But the Daily News reports that all is well after a pizzeria waiter became her hero and returned the check worth nearly $424,000. Armando Marcage found a bank envelope while cleaning off a table at Patsy's restaurant in East Harlem. Mr. Marcage ran outside, but the customer was gone. He opened the envelope and got a shock. After an unsuccessful search, the restaurant's owner called the Daily News for help. Though 79-year-old Karen Vinicor realized her mistake and quickly called Patsy's, she called the wrong location. And since she never returned to claim the check, the restaurant's owner tried to find her. A small group of people made an effort to finally track her down. The check contained her life savings, proceeds from her apartment sale, earmarked for a down payment on a new home. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.